It's the 10th day of September 2017, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. If you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read verse 12 for our text today. Been reading some emails that I've been getting from Lynn Connell, and that was sent to me by him, but it was from a brother named Wiley Fulton. They call him the Encourager. And an encourager he is to the saints. And I think the title of that last few series that he's been sending out is called, Are You Really in the Faith? I think that's right. You read them? Are You Really in the Faith? But in some of that, he used this scripture here. And so I felt like it would be good, the Lord mercy upon it, that we cover 1 Timothy 6:12 today. And the title of the message today would be Fight, the Good Fight of Faith. Fight, the Good Fight of Faith. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul tells Timothy. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Our God, we thank You for the reading of Your word this morning. Pray Your mercy and blessings upon it, that it might be beneficial to Your people, both those that are converted and those that are not, those that are the elect, whether they be converted or not. May they hear Your word this morning. May the Spirit of God open their ears and open their eyes, and as the Lord did Lydia down by the river, might open their hearts this morning to have mercy upon them. For Lord, there's nothing more important to any human still walking the face of this earth than his eternal soul. Have mercy, O Lord. Help Your servant this morning as he tries to feed Your sheep. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That first word there, fight, is probably not a word that's used much in the modern day churches. They mostly preach peace and love, not realizing a lot of the times that if you are a Christian, you are a warrior in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in a battle every day. And you're in the army of the Lord. And fight is what we do. And that Greek word for that word fight is, we pronounce it usually, agonizomai. We get our English word, I guess, agonize from that. But it really means to contend. The concordance actually calls it agonizomai, A-H-E-E, I guess is how they pronounce ahi. But I've always heard it pronounced agonizomai. And that is to contend, or contend for. And the introduction today will be brief but necessary to help us understand that in order to fight or contend for anything, we must first prepare for the battle or for the contest. You see football players, high school and college, I hope you don't see any of the devilish, ungodly, demonized NFL anymore. Hope, because they play on the Lord's Day, number one. And number two is because they play on the Lord's Day. That that you boycott that and don't watch one ball game. Not one! Because they take the Lord's Day. And this is the Lord's Day, not NFL Day.
Amen.
It's the Lord's Day. So don't watch them. But you see that before season starts, they have a long process of preparing themselves to contend for the title. And before, if you've ever been in the services of any kind, you see that you go into training from a young lad or a young man before you go into battle, so that you are trained that you may win the battle and not die in it when you get to battle. And the same is with boxing or fighting. They prepare themselves with a long time of preparing and fighting and training before they enter the battle. So it's important. And that's if we're talking about a physical battle or contest. It would mean physically getting in shape and much training so we'd be able to fight or contend so as to win the battle. We would enter it knowing we were ready to overcome our opponent. Now, brethren, we must prepare ourselves spiritually for this spiritual battle. Because a spiritual battle it is. For we're in a war. The whole world is against us. We have many enemies, even over our old nature. Self, Satan, sin, and the world. We have much preparation to attend to. And it's best if we teach and prepare our posterity at a young age, as Timothy was, if you remember reading the epistles to Timothy. He was trained up in the scriptures and knew them from a young lad taught by his mother and his grandmother. The apostle told the Ephesian elders, I'm going to repeat that. The apostle told the elders from Ephesus in Acts 20 and 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Not to be perfecting the saints, as the Lord said and the apostle said, and the Spirit of God said through the apostle, was the purpose of elders in the church, was for the perfecting of the saints. But these people that would be coming in shortly after the departing of Paul from Ephesus would be to attract people to themselves, false apostles and false preachers and false teachers. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 4, we better turn there. I didn't write all of this one down. In 1 John chapter 4, beloved, that's something, the Apostle John. I guess he was the youngest of the apostles. I guess he was the last living of the apostles, the Apostle John. Always referred to himself in his gospel, Brother Thomas, as not by his name. Him that Christ loved. And we could all say that. It's not that we loved him, but it's that he loved us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, he's not talking about Ghostbusters here when he says try the spirits. He's not talking about that. You can tell if you read the whole verse, and even more if you read the verses after. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about people that are speaking something contrary to what Christ and the apostles taught. Those are the spirits that he's talking about. Believe not every spirit. Believe not every preacher, speaker, pastor, elder, bishop, whatever you want to call them. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Well, how do you try them? The same way the Bereans did. Search the scriptures. Prepare yourselves before the battle so that you might know. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world is going to listen to the world. And God's people. I'm not talking about those churchgoers that call themselves God's people. I heard somebody say early this morning, they said, what did they say? They're Christians, but they don't do what the Bible says. No, that's an oxymoron.
That's right.
That's an oxymoron. If you're not doing what the Bible says, don't tell me you're a Christian.
Amen.
Just keep your mouth shut and let your actions prove what you are. These people that are churchgoers and preachers at worldly churches and social clubs that they call churches, the world will hear them because they will not tell them the truth. They will not tell them to fight for the faith. Oh, they'll tell them that they should defend their faith. But he didn't say your faith. He said the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Not just any faith. Not your faith, that what you may have heard some preacher say, but the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the believing kind of faith. I'm talking about the doctrine of faith. I'm talking about the instructions that the Lord Jesus taught for His people to live by. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if the love of the world, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Those kind of instructions. If you love me, keep my commandments. Those kind of instructions. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those kind of instructions. For this battle, I've left my notes. I don't know if I'll ever catch up with them again. This battle, this spiritual battle that we're in order to prepare yourself for it, you don't have to do anything physically as far as preparing your muscles and your legs and your reaction time and all of those things. But you must read the book. You must read the book. Throw all those other books away, if you will. If you're reading all other kind of books and you're not reading the book, throw them away and read the book. Because the Spirit of the living God is going to teach His people the truth. If they'll just read the book and pray. Get on your knees before the Almighty and ask for His help as you read the book. And He will teach you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the same Spirit spoke through the Apostle John in the second chapter. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, brethren, if you think that's any doubt about that, you just follow me the next time somebody asks me to come preach at one of those modern-day, easy-believism, Southern Baptist churches and see how many of them hear me. See how many of them will hear the Word. God's people will hear the Word. False professors and confessors will not hear the word. The word was preached during the first service this morning about the elect of God. The world will not hear that. The world has to be in charge of their free will to accept or reject God. They cannot be saved except they give in their free will to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. If that's the case, they never will be saved. For they never will be lost, as far as they're concerned. This faith, this doctrine, was once delivered in opposition to sundry times and divers manners, as spoken of in Hebrews 1:1. Now, don't turn there yet. Just turn your page backwards and turn to Jude. Turn to Jude right before Revelation there. Chapter 1, since there's only one in there. And verse 3. Beloved, well, they use that word a lot, don't they? There's Jude using that word, beloved. It means he loved them. You know, most parents love their children. They think they do. But one way they can test whether or not they love their children is, do you tell them the truth? Do you hurt them if necessary, to keep them from hurting themselves. People that love their children would do such a thing. They would hurt their children to keep their children from hurting themselves. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now that word there, earnestly contend, that is also a word joined to agonizomai. I believe it's called, I didn't write it down, but it's by agonizomai. And it means to contend for, to fight for. I write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Not just any faith, not just any doctrine, not just what your preacher may say or what the church that you attend may believe, but the doctrine, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This doctrine that was delivered by God the Father to His Son as the mediator between God and man, and delivered by the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, to His apostles, and by His apostles to the church by sermons and writings which we have with us today, should not be altered or changed in any way or in any form.
Amen.
The faith that was once delivered to the saints. I really believe he's talking about when he says once delivered to the saints was that which Christ delivered to the apostles. And the apostles delivered to the church. And none other. It was once delivered by God the Father to His Son. That faith. It's the same faith from Genesis to the last verse in Revelation.
Amen.
It has not changed.
Amen.
Just read the book. It's always been the same. God had a people before the foundation of the world. And He's still got a people that He's had from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, we can back up a couple of books here. Just past James to Hebrew, chapter 1. You can hold your place there, Jude, if you want to. That is where he said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Man, must have got started late. I just got started. No need, new ladies. They can't hear me out there, but they might as well come on back. They can heat that air till we get through.
That's right.
What Jude was saying over there, that you should contend, earnestly contend for the faith that was which was once delivered unto the saints, is in opposition to Hebrews 1:1, where God at sundry times, means different times, and in many manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's talking about God the Father. Hath in past times and in different manners has spoken unto us by the prophets. But now hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's what Jude's talking about. The Son, the doctrine that was delivered to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, by His Father, whom He delivered to the apostles and they to the church. That faith! And you'll only find that in the Word of God. You'll find that in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What more do you need? No doubt, it has been changed in the worldly churches, so called. It has been mutilated. The worldly churches know nothing of the faith that was once delivered. Not once upon a time, but once delivered. What is this faith? And are you in it? This faith the Scripture talks about being preached, obeyed, departed from, erred from, denied, and made shipwreck of. And the Bible talks about all those things. Just read the book, you'll cover every one of those. This faith. Been preached. I read two different Scriptures this morning where the Apostle Paul, where the Bible says, and he went to Lystra and preached the gospel. He went to Derbe and preach the gospel. It's obeyed. It's departed from. It's erred from. It's denied and made shipwreck of. We need to understand and prepare ourselves to contend for this faith. You cannot measure your success in contending for this faith by how many people that hear it believe it. You cannot do that. But you must contend for it everywhere you go if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We fight for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The truth of the Scriptures. The God of the Scriptures. Not the God that they've made up these days. But the true of the living God. And in the Scriptures you will find some of these doctrines. Well, you'll find all of these doctrines that I'm fixing to tell you. But they're only some of them, is what I'm saying. They're not all of them. Doctrines like that of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We contend for that. Our faith stands upon that. And each part that each of them plays in our salvation, the deity and the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the divinity and the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, all three of these we've heard about as Brother Thomas has been going through Romans. Especially on the personality and the deity of the Spirit of God. The depravity of man and of the whole human race depraved, separated from God, and alienated from Him. The doctrine of the imputation of Adam's sin to all of his posterity. That's very important. And it's taught in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, in the teaching of Romans, we've heard that also. That the sin of Adam was passed upon all of his posterity. Because Adam sinned in the garden, all of his children were born sinners, separated from God and alienated from Him. The corruption of our nature, the impotence, let's call it the moral inability, the impotence of that which is good. Our corrupt nature is incapable of doing anything that is good.
Right.
Now, other people may see something that a fallen nature does and say, oh, that's good. Well, it may be good in your sight, but in God's sight, we'll call it filthy rags, is how God sees it. You read up on that filthy rags just a little bit, and you'll be disgusted of our righteousness. The acts of grace in the Father, the acts of grace in the Son, and the acts of grace in the Spirit towards and on the sons of men. The doctrines of everlasting love. Of eternal election. The eternal covenant of grace. Or the covenant, everlasting covenant spoken of in Hebrews 13 and 20. The everlasting covenant. That's the covenant of peace, we call it. That's the covenant that God made with His Son before the foundation of the world, where every elect chosen of God person's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life and given to His Son, that He might go and redeem them from their sins.
Amen.
Bear the punishment of the Almighty God for their sins in their room instead. Die on the cross, be beaten bloody, and suffer the wrath of His Father. The doctrine of particular redemption. Boy, this is one that'll make them mad. Particular redemption. It means God the Son, Jesus Christ, only died for those whose names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now, you won't hear that in a Southern Baptist modern day church. You won't hear that in a Methodist church for sure. You won't hear that in a Roman Catholic, whatever they call those things. You won't hear that. Particular redemption means that those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world are those elect, and Christ died for those alone.
Amen.
If He'd have died for every human that ever walked the face of the earth, everyone would be saved.
That's right.
He would have paid their debt in full. Oh, but preacher, that was just, He offers it to everybody, and they just have to accept it. And if they don't accept it, then they're going to hell. I won't call them what I wanted to. You know what I wanted to call them. Show me that in the book! I can show you particular redemption in the book. I can show you Matthew 1:21. It says, you'll call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. not make a way where they can accept him if they want to, but he shall save his people from their sins. I can show you where that all that the Father hath given me, I will raise him up on the last day. End of discussion. All that the Father hath given me, I will raise him up on the last day. I give them eternal life, and no man can take it from them. Particular redemption. But see, you can believe anything you want to. You believe anything you want to. But that doesn't make it scriptural, and that doesn't make it the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You must read the book. Just read the book and pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Open my heart like you did Lydia's down by the river, oh Lord. Help me to see. Give me faith. Justification by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. And if you're justified, that's the only way you're justified, is by the imputation, means God imputed the righteousness of Christ. He charged your account in heaven. The righteousness of Christ to your account. As far as God the Father is concerned, you never sinned. Not only that, you wasn't even born in sin. Not only that, you're perfect. You're as perfect as He is. You're as perfect as Christ is. Now I know you can't see yourself that way, and I certainly can't see myself that way. But one day I'll be that way. One day I'll have no more sin. One day I'll have no more evil thoughts. One day. Pardon and reconciliation by His blood. A very important doctrine. Pardon and reconciliation by His blood. How our sins were pardoned, and how we were refriended, you might say, to God by the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nation. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations, from the foundation of the world. You see, as far as God the Father was concerned, when He made the covenant with His Son in eternity past, and He wrote our names in the Lamb's book of life, it was already said and done. It was though He had already been slain, though it would be thousands and thousands of years before He actually was. As far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. His people were already saved.
That's right.
His people were already adopted as children. Their name was written in the book. It was a done deal. It was though Christ had already died, even though He had not yet. It was a sure thing. He was coming. Regeneration and sanctification by the grace of the Spirit of God. I dare say that very few people in any Southern Baptist church today know anything about regeneration. But I'm here to tell you, brethren, you must be born from above. That takes away the old stony heart that you were born with, and it gives you a heart of flesh. And God said, when that happens, I will write my laws upon the tables of their heart, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Regeneration. You must be born from above. And sanctification. Two different kinds there, but the one we're most familiar with is that we come through day by day, little by little, here a little, there a little, whipping after whipping, scourging after scourging, no different than your own children. They don't learn to be obedient to begin with. And they never will learn if you don't put something on their backside that'll give them good cause to do it. God does His people. If you don't believe it, just go read over there in Hebrews and you'll find out that God whips the tar out of His children for disobedience. That means sinning. That means breaking His commandments, breaking His law, breaking His will, not performing His will. If you're His child, He's going to tear your backsides up. And you'll learn, I ought to straighten up. I'm getting tired of these whippings. Resurrection from the dead. Final perseverance. The future glory of the saints with Christ. When it says once delivered, it concludes that this is from God and not from men. It is to be faithfully kept and contended for and obeyed. No new revelations should be expected. It's all in the book. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. This must be done, brethren, upon our knees and in much meditation, communing with our God. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. So don't be surprised by the small number of people where the Word of God is preached, because few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Do you know who finds it? Do you know who finds it? Every one of those whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They find it. They may not find it today, but they will find it. On that appointed day, like Lydia down by the river, on that appointed day, the elect of God that are yet unconverted will be at the right place at the right time, and the man or the woman of God will be at the right place at the right time to witness and to testify of the Almighty truth. And they will be those that find it. You cannot save one soul, but you better be contending, fighting for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. May the Lord be with you and help you in your battles. O our God, have mercy upon us and help us, O God. Help all of your people, Lord, to be on their knees every morning and every evening and even at noontime, pleading for mercy that you might help us contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Keep us, O Lord, from the evil one. Strengthen us in the inner man that we may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil, self, Satan, sin in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Help us, O God. Have mercy upon us and forgive us where we fail thee. Forgive us when our eyes are distracted by worldly things and cause our love for thee to be increased so, Lord, that we just refuse and makes us sick to do anything contrary to thy will. Be with dear Pappy and Sister Brenda, those that were unable to be here today. Have mercy and forgive us. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.